Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here and checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button. If you're not already, you're going to get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give this series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. We've had some great guests dropping by lately, including Stephen Knights. You know him as the creator of Peaky Blinders, along with Malachi Kirby. They both talk about the second season of A Thousand Blows on Disney+. Nico Case dropped by to discuss her latest record, Neon Grey Midnight Green. Amy Mann, Joe Henry, Karen Berkwist of Over the Rhine, Walker Scobell, he stars as Percy Jackson in the Disney Plus series, Morgan Neville, the documentarian behind 20 Feet from Stardom and Roadrunner, Anthony Bourdain, returned with Breakdown 1975, which you can watch on Netflix. We talked with Emmy Lou Harris, Lori Morgan, Ayanna Lee from Highest to Lowest, Paul Feig, director of The Housemaid, and that's just a few examples of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, I'm going to be talking with both Sasha Calle and Catalina Sandino Moreno. Sasha, you will, of course, know she played Supergirl in The Flash. You saw her in The Young and the Restless. And then we've got Catalina Sandino Moreno, who broke through in 2004 with Maria Full of Grace. More recently, you've seen her in the series From, as well as in Ballerina, the world of John Wick. Both of them return in The Rip on Netflix, starring Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, a movie that I guess you could say is about one very uneasy stash house. The two are going to talk about the crime thriller that's really less about the shootouts than the slow psychological squeeze of not knowing who to trust. Now, later on when I talk with Catalina, she's going to reflect on returning to morally complex material after movies like Maria Full of Grace, what it's like sharing scenes with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, and why this run of action-heavy roles makes a surprisingly fun new chapter in her career. But we're going to start with my conversation with Sasha Calle. She digs into playing this character, Desi, the film's human wild card, balancing stillness with intensity, delivering a pivotal monologue, and how her soap opera background prepared her for pressure cooker moments. So let's get into this as we discuss The Rip, out now on Netflix. It's Kyle Meredith, part one of this conversation with Sasha Calle.
Hi, how are you?
Congratulate you on The Rip.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I think everybody did great. I love everybody's character, but I was just thinking before we jumped on here how I think Desi might be my favorite character.
That's so sweet. Thank you so much. Thank you. That means a lot. Standing next to some greats, you know, I'm standing next to some really incredible people in this film.
She gets to be like there's sort of an invisible villain through a lot of the movie, but
yeah,
he kind of gets to be the closest we have to the obstacle in the way for a lot of it. Like, she's not the villain, or is she? You know, it's always the question, right? But like, how did you want to play her?
You know, I think when we got the script, it's just such an entertaining story. You kind of, the way that we see it in the movie is the way that you read it on the paper, and you don't know who did it or who, you know, you just don't know. It is a real whodunit situation. And when I started reading the script and I knew that I was following Desi's storyline, I didn't know whether she was guilty or not. I really didn't. The way that we saw the movie, that is exactly how it felt on the paper. And it was a joy and a blast to read. I think that Joe Carnahan has that skill when he writes scripts, that they're just so entertaining and so enthralling.
And it's got such a mood to it. I mean, I kept coming back to the word cerebral, which is not something you get with a lot of action movies, but so much of this, you know, so much takes place in the house, right? And mm-hmm. and just the psychological parts of everybody. Like, how long were you in that house? Because most of your stuff happens right there, right?
Yeah, most of it. I mean, I couldn't tell you. It's kind of, you know, I couldn't tell you how much, but I was handcuffed to the chair for most of my time in the movie. And it was also a challenge, you know. I think as somebody who is very, who likes to move their body, who loves stunts, who likes to be a part of the fun, you know, I had to kind of just sit there. But there's a lot of great things that you find with just sitting there as well, and trusting your director and trusting the writing and trusting that the character is used in a specific way that is needed for everyone else. And seeing the film afterwards and watching Desi grow and seeing how it propels the other characters and how the other characters propel. It's just such a beautiful dance, I think, between all of us. It really is a true ensemble cast with the most incredible leaders in Matt and Ben.
Now, do you have to go, like, in your process, did you have to go someplace different for a role like this?
No, not really. I mean, I found a lot of ease in Desi, I suppose. She was a made-up character. Most of the characters in the cops, I believe, were it is based on a true story, and the cops were also based on true people and a true team of people, especially Chris Cassiano, who was the boss that I got to connect with, and I just adore him. He is just a love to be around, and they blessed everyone, even me, who is not a cop, you know, with the knowledge and their wisdom and of what they do every day with this dangerous job. I actually don't even know what you asked me, but we got into a great space here.
No, I actually like where you're going, because I didn't know that you all actually met the real people.
Yes.
Like, was that something that was given to you all, or did you seek that out?
No, I think Joe Carnahan really wants there to be truth in this film. And you also get to hire Joe is a very intentional director, I feel, and he hired very specifically who he wanted in these roles. And so the actors that were hired truly care about the truth and the reality of their characters and the story. And you can see everybody's mind racing and asking the right questions. And how do we hold this gun? How do we do this? And Joe and was, you know, graceful enough to give everybody the opportunity to have that close relationship. And him and Chris Cassiano have also had a very close relationship. And I'm just so lucky because you know, I'm not a cop, so that training wouldn't have been given to me. But I did meet Chris, and I spent some time with him on set. And that, to me, as an actor, is one of the most important things for me in this job, is to be able to become a sponge in an environment and learn from everyone. And I really, really did. And especially Desi, who is this, Joe would call it the heart of the movie. She has this incredible opportunity to have seen. I mean, I as Sasha had this incredible opportunity to act with every single character in this movie. And to me, that was so much fun and so exciting and a true blessing to be surrounded by great actors and overall great people.
And of course, two of those actors, of course, we bring up Ben Affleck, Matt Damon.
Yes.
Being you going head to head on the monologues, like, what's that experience like? Like the day of those shootings,
Yeah.
are you nervous about that? Is it heightened?
I'm only really nervous if I'm unprepared in any general aspect of my life and my career. If I find that I am unprepared or confused, I think that there was clarity in the monologue. And if there wasn't any clarity in general in the movie, there's a safe space within Ben, Matt, and Joe to ask questions. And yeah, Ben and Matt create an incredible, safe space to work in, truly. And I felt so safe. And sometimes when I'm working, I mean, I guess most of the time, I don't really remember things. It just all kind of speeds by you. And I don't remember specifics or how many times, but I just did an interview where they asked how many takes that scene took. And Catalina was like, "You guys did that fast. There was not that many takes that you did. You ran right through it." And so hearing that too is like, yeah, they just created such an awesome space. And Ben also improvised some stuff, and within that improvisation, he gave me the safety to also throw it in there, and they kept some of those lines of improv, and it was epic.
Yeah, I hear about that every now and then, and I think about, in music, that if somebody's writing a song and then you come in with a few lines, is the whole line of a word for a third. Like you get paid because you come in. Like it's a shame with the improv that like, oh, now you get a big percentage of the movie as well because you wrote some of your own. It's wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a blessing to be able to be given the opportunity to just play within the writing as well. There's an honor that goes to wanting to make sure that the writer is really happy, but there's also this beautiful thing as an actor to honor the writing and honor the story and also be given the opportunity to be in the character and see what comes out of that, to be allowed that safety and freedom.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Sasha Kaye. If I get right, like you have a soap background, right?
Yes, yeah, the
Like,
Young and the Restless.
yeah. Like, do you think that helps with days like that, with monologues? Because we hear about like if you're gonna work, like you gotta remember so
Yeah.
easily.
I will say I am so out of practice. I in terms of the big big pager days, I mean, my I think I my I always say 45 because I think that my biggest day of memorization was 45 pages a night. And it's a muscle, really. I think you get in there and it just becomes your job and you have to do it. You have no other option. And if you don't do it, you're gonna look really bad in front of your castmates and your crew. And they will make you feel that pressure because we're on a clock. But I am so out of practice. It would be interesting to see if I could do it again, but I adored that experience. I think that it's a whole like live theater in a lot of ways. You have a multicam, you have maybe, you aim to do it in one take, at three, you hope you get it. And, it is a very, I've been reading Melody Thomas Scott's books, and her book that she released, she gave it to me and she signed it. And I adore that woman. She's just an angel and welcomed me with, her arms open, and was kind of like a quiet, deadly supporter. Like, really like walks with elegance. And every time, when I booked Flash, she sent me the biggest bouquet of flowers I'd ever seen in my life. And I hold that dear to my heart. And before I left for this press junket, I was looking for a book and I grabbed that one, and that is what I have in my bag right now. And I've been reading about her. And although soaps are very, this and like dramatic. It's meant to be in that way, and it is a whole art form in itself. And the actors that are working on soap operas are working really hard. And it was a school in itself that prepared me for where I am right now. And I'm really, really grateful for the experience that I have on The Young and the Restless and what I learned from my co-stars on that soap opera.
By the way, I'm not kidding. You snapped into that for a second. That's that turning.
It's a training. I remember when we did when I filmed my entry, when they like go, da-da-da, and you have to like wear a dress and like you have to like, I wore a pantsuit, like a, you know, and I remember just like, I had very long hair and I just like, you have to like walk into it. And it's amazing when they first aired it. I was like, oh my God. It's like getting your first coma.
Sure.
That was very exciting. One of the most difficult things I've had to do in my acting career. Sitting still. Imagine, try it. I tell people, I'm like, try sitting still while somebody is profusely sobbing, telling you to wake up and get out of the coma. It is a very hard job.
I love that that's one of the hallmarks. Like, have you got your coma yet? It's coming. You're on a soap.
Yes.
It's coming.
Yes, I got many fun things. I got married. I was in a coma. I had a food truck, and then I had a Michelin star restaurant. We had all the things.
And now you're in the crime world. Which, by the way, didn't I see like Lips Like Sugar, right? That's the other one. Like, you're in the crime world.
Yes, with Colin Farrell, yes. Which, yeah. Another stand-up man, you know, really, really amazing actor, incredible career, just like Ben and Matt, and so much fun to work with him on that as well.
Also a good Echo in the Bunnymen song. One of the best, actually.
Yeah.
Lips Like Sugar.
Yes.
And, and you're a musician, right?
Yes.
Like, is there, are you going to be playing that side of your career up
yes,
at any
I've
point
been,
more?
Look, I've been trying. I'm trying really hard to give myself a deadline. Every year I'm like, next year, next year, next year. And I think, you know, it comes down to, I got to let go of my perfectionism with music. It's because it's so personal. That it feels harder to let go of. But day by day, I've been working with my producer, who's also my best friend, and other producers, and trying to kind of put it in a place that I feel good with. And I'm right now I'm scheduling the video shoots for it as well, and shooting the promo for it. And I'm really excited. But, you know, I have to be kind with myself because I care so deeply about it. It's music is one of those things that's different from the acting world, because you have to, you know, you put your life, it's like writing your own, you know, biopic, or you know, writing a story about yourself. That's what music is. And not only does it go through in the writing, but it goes through in the music that you're putting behind, you know, in that track. And I just gotta let myself be afraid and make mistakes, you know. I gotta free myself so I can enjoy my music and share it with other people.
I can't wait to hear it. Hopefully we'll get to talk about that too one day.
Thank you. Yes.
In the meantime, seriously, congratulations on this character, Desi,
so
and the Rip. Yeah, it's such a fun movie to watch, and you knocked it out of the park. It's been a lot of fun talking to you about it.
Thank you so much. I love The Prince. Call My Name is one of my favorites.
I usually make people, when they talk about it, they got to name their Prince, David Bowie, and R.E.M. songs, but you already beat me to it. So
Call
nice
My Name.
Down.
I mean, that one, the performance video, oh God, I'm like, every time. It's such a simple song, but it is so beautiful. Sometimes when I get in my head about writing, I go and listen to that song because it's so simple and so beautiful. And it's one of those. What a
perfect
legend.
Perfect. Sasha, thank you so much. It was
thank
great talking.
So-
and we'll be right back right after this. And my thanks to Sasha, as promised. Let's pick up now with part two, Catalina Sandino Moreno. Among other things that we've already talked about, she'll tell us about Joe Carnahan, the director's high-energy set, and the film's ensemble chemistry, and why this movie really works best when it slows down and lets the paranoia breathe. Part two of The Rip, it's Kyle Meredith with Catalina Sandino Moreno.
Hi, Kyle. How are you?
Congrats on The Rip.
Thanks.
What a cool, fun movie this one is.
It was very fun to make, too.
Now, I know this is the whole story about this, because it's a wild story, right? And it's, I know it's sort of based on a true story as well. Like, how important is that to you going into a movie? Like, do you look back at whatever the true thing is? Does that help you?
Yes. I I love making movies out of real life because that is what touches your heart. When you open a script and you feel something, the script pulls you in and you feel, I mean, any sort of feeling, it's a good sign. And I don't know, there's something about this movie that is not just, I mean, it's fast paced, it's action, it's, there's a lot of elements around it, but it's just very human. Like my character is a single mother of two. She's not well paid in that job. She's risking her life every single day. And she's confronted with an incredible, huge amount of money that could change her life and her daughter's life and her children's life. So I just feel that a lot of people can understand that feeling of, if I just take a chance, if I just do this, you know, temptation, it's always there. It's very human to feel tempted by things, by especially money. And I really like that side of the story. I mean, like, that's the core of the story, aside from being like an action thriller movie.
Somehow I just now noticed that big old stack of money there next to you. That's
yeah.
But that is like, what a moral conundrum that is placed in the movie that you guys get to play around with that whole time.
Yeah.
And surely you had some conversations about what you would do in this situation.
Oh my God, of course. Especially, you know, like, you're underpaid and you are asked to perform dangerous stuff every single day. And as a mother, I feel that it's even more intense, you know, like the you want to take care of your life, but you want to take care of them. And it's a balance, you know, you're presented with this money, but you don't want to get killed by the mafia, you know? So it's, you just have to be a good human and be like, you know, this is not my time. I'm going to let it go, but it's tough. That's what's interesting about this movie. It deals with that dilemma of just risking it all and do the right moral thing to, you know, in that situation.
Well, and I tell you, one thing that I was really impressed after it was over and I was able to look back on the movie was that, as you said, you know, it's an action thriller, but so much of the movie, you know, could be defined as this cerebral, you know, talkie type thing. I mean, you guys are in basically two rooms of this house.
Yeah.
For a majority of the movie, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, did you all talk about style and mood going into it? Because we do get some fun, you know, gunplay and all of that stuff. But that's you know, to me, the excitement is watching you all sort of the psychological parts.
Yeah, no, the style and mood, I don't think that was my place to talk. I think Joe had very well-defined things. I remember him saying, like, specific colors for specific people, which I find it fascinating because when you watch movies, you're not paying attention colors or shots or anything. But, you know, these filmmakers, they do care about that. And they're very specific and they're very, you know, they made that as an intention to build that character in just red or in just blue or... and I think he did that. That's a question for Joe. I just feel that coming into a set like this one, I've never been on a set like this. Joe, I don't know if you met him, but he's a very big guy, energetic. He's full of life. He's happy all the time. You just hear him like an enormous, beautiful laugh. And I feel that that is contagious. And you just go into that set knowing that it's going to be a high intensity, high energetic day because of how he manages his set. He puts music in between takes. He's very relaxed, but when he is in it, he's in it and he's just, it's all in. I've never been on a set like this and it was fun.
That's saying something. I mean, you know, you've been in the business long enough to say that you're still finding a new experience like this.
Completely. Yeah, completely. And especially, you know, working with big actors, like huge actors like Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, you might think that they will have, you know, a method, that they will be like, you know, doing this thing, that because they're such wonderful actors and you watch their movies and there's so much heart to everything they do, but they're just normal people. You know, they're just, they could be talking. I said it before, they go from 0 to 60 in a very short time. They're so professionals and they've been doing this for so long that they can go from 0 to 60 seamless. And it's very interesting to see that, because some actors, they need to take their time and they have their own little thing. But these guys, it was just great to know that there's no one road for great acting. There's many, and whatever fits you, it's okay for you. It's great for you.
You didn't have to infiltrate the friendship. Like, I would think, you know, when you got Ben and Matt like that, that, as you said, that have been working together for so long, like they've got their own language and they're maybe over here, but it doesn't sound like that.
No. And they're very open to, I mean, they like to collaborate. They're aware that they're not, it's, you know, they want you to do great because it's everyone's movie. Like we're a group and we have to make this together. And I love that. I think that's sometimes you're in a movie where the lead actor is just like, this is my movie and I have to carry. And I didn't feel any of that with both of them. Mm-hmm. They were very open and they're very, you know, it was just normal guys.
What was some of the types of music that Joe was playing in between takes?
Oh my God, he would play everything. He would play, like, for example, there's a fire, right? So the music was like, the room is on fire. Da, da, da. I mean, like crazy stuff. Something to do with the next scene, or old soundtracks for like move. I mean, like everything. What you can't imagine. Suddenly, you're like, oh, okay. So we're doing high pitched. Okay, let's do it. So it just contagious.
Happen around. I mean, obviously, looking around me is no surprise. I always like hearing how music can be a part of the process. There are, you know, some actors do use that. I mean, if they're going in the scene, they put the earbuds in, and it's a specific song to help them get there. You know, and I don't know if you have that. If you have that, if you need that style.
No, I've never. I've never used that, but I know people that do, and it works for them. And you know, some songs are really triggered for them to either remember something beautiful or like the whatever they want to achieve in that scene. But I've never used that. But yeah, I've seen it's really helpful.
I was remembering, because you sing some, right?
No.
Like somewhere in the back of my mind is a role with you singing, but maybe I got that wrong.
Yeah. No, not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, like, I thought I was never going to do an action film. I've done three.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not going to say no to nothing before reading it. I don't know. Life just will throw you stuff that you can just play and see what happens. And at the beginning of my career, I thought everything has to be very serious. But now I'm older and I'm like, let's just have fun.
When did that change?
I think once I had a kid, my child has shaped me into someone that, you know, life just is going too fast and you just have to have fun and don't take anything so seriously. And, you know, we're actors and we should entertain and we should have fun, basically.
I guess I'm going back to this movie because it's almost like you get the best of both worlds in this movie, though. I mean, it's a fun action movie at the same time. But I was talking about the psychological part of it and everything. Like you don't have to totally choose one or the other, right?
No. That's a beautiful thing about this film, is like you can have both and they coexist. And you understand even more the characters by seeing that balance. And it's so well done in this film. You know a little bit about the characters. You don't know the whole story. You don't know the whole in-depth what happens when they leave work and they go home. Like, who are they? And I love that mysterious thing, you know, that unspoken things. And I think there's a lot in this movie that there are so many secrets, but they're there. And you feel it as an audience. It's right there. Mm-hmm. And it's very well written. I like it. I really enjoyed it.
Do you have a favorite part of the process?
I enjoy enjoyed everything, even this, that a lot of people are like, oh my God, we're stuck in a room for like hours and hours. I really enjoy it because when it's a movie that you love and you really believe that it's a good movie, then you enjoy the whole thing. You know, you enjoy the preparation, you enjoy shooting it, you enjoy doing ADR because you see little snippets here and there, and then you enjoy listening to your co-stars talk about their perspectives, about what they thought about the movie when they were coming in. You know, it's just, we never talk about this at the beginning of a film. Now it's like the ending, and then we see the results, and you're like, yeah, I thought this. What did you think coming into this? What were you expecting coming into this? So it's very interesting, everything. All the process of filmmaking is quite interesting to me.
Very fortunate for you. Yeah. To land on something. And then I read, and I'll quickly bring this up at the end here, because I was reading about that artist equity and the Netflix thing, which is a bonus to what all 1,200 people who worked on the film, if it meets, like I hope this is the direction we're going in, I guess is what I'm getting at, in the industry. So much is changing.
I hope so too. Yeah. I hope so too. I think it's, I mean, we as actors are the face of a movie, but the amount of work that goes behind cameras, it's enormous. And I think what they're doing is beautiful, because you're giving a little piece of what we earn, if we earn a lot, to everyone that worked in this film. And it's so well deserved, because I don't think a lot of people know how much work it goes when you're making a movie.
Agreed.
Behind cameras. I mean, the actors come out and be like, oh yes, the heat, that's circumstantial. But like, people get there 3 hours earlier to put lights and to put sound and to make sure that everything is perfect for when actors showed up, that everything is fine. If we didn't have all these people, our job would be impossible. So what they're doing is incredible.
I agree. I would love to see more of that.
Yeah,
and
me too.
And you all have done a fantastic job with this one, the entire crew and all of you all.
Yeah.
Congratulations on the rip. And Catalina, it's so nice meeting you and talking to you. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Thank you so much. Nice to meet you.
And there you have it. Big thanks to Catalina and Sasha, and to you for checking out the episode, The Rip, now playing on Netflix. Make sure to hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week, just like this one, at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. In fact, one of my recent shows features some classics and favorites from Blessing Jolie, Grantley Buffalo, Ronnie Jordan, Suzanne Vega, Sam Phillips, Matthew Sweet, Esquivel, Wolf Alice, Joan Osborne, His Golden Messenger, and my interviews with Abe Sylvia, the creator and showrunner of Palm Royale on Apple TV+. Actress Darcy Carden, as we talked about season 3 of Loot on Apple TV, and the cast of Hulu's Goosebumps. That's what you get when you listen in weeknights, starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.